Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, the final hour of Drive Time with DeRusha, Henry Lake in for Jason. I'm going to have to figure this out. Like, Jason, he's got the restaurant scene all on lockdown. He doesn't need any wine. He doesn't need any cocktails. I need to trade something that he would want from me for some of his vacation days. Because he's got so many of them.
Oh.
I want to acquire a few of those.
Yes. So you want to trade him? Like, what could you offer him?
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking out loud. I'm like, what can I trade him for some of his millions of vacation days?
How about some sweet sports tickets? Some kind of a cool game?
Yeah, I gotta figure that out. I mean, I could do that. But you know, in this profession, though, people think that you, me, Dan Cook, people that work at a state, like, we're Ticketmaster. Like, people think that we just have this.
I know.
The access to, and it doesn't work like that.
No, it does not.
I'm sure you probably get asked, oh, do you gotta hook up on Twins tickets or do you gotta hook up on Timber? It's like, sometimes I do, but the majority of the time I don't.
Right.
So, but he doesn't even need that from me because he's probably getting asked for tickets too.
Right. He doesn't need much, but you're saying you need more vacation time.
I need more vacation days. So I need to work. What can I work, Dan? How do you think I could play this?
I don't know, but I mean, like, to your point about, you know, he doesn't need help with the sports tickets. I mean, this is the guy sitting courtside half the time.
That's true. So,
I mean,
that's true. That is true.
You know, you're going to do better than that? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't do better than that.
Unless you're going to get him in the starting lineup somehow, and that's not good.
I think
anybody.
He's been courtside too. So
he has been. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So we'll see. I got to work something out. But look, I love this segment with Laura Oaks. I get a chance to pick her brain and get on the same page as one of my colleagues. And so this is the question I want to pose to you and Dan here, that as we're approaching spring and summer, what are the things that you feel are a little bit more unique or really cool about the Twin Cities that you like to be a part of when we dive into spring and summer that maybe sets us apart? I have a couple of different things. I want you guys to go first because I've lived in Kansas City and I've lived in Atlanta for college and stuff like that, whatever. But there's a couple things about what we do in our way of life here in Minnesota that I just love.
Yeah. I would say, well, one of the things that pops into my mind with summer coming is we need to find a new lake or waterway to bring our little raft out on that we call the Walrus. And it's this little inflatable raft that's big enough for Chris and me to sit. We just bring this thing out, we paddle it out to the middle of a lake, and we sit all afternoon. And it's wonderful. And we usually go to Minnetonka, like we'll shove off from the beach in Excelsior and then just sit there all day. But we need to find some new places to bring this Walrus. So
Do you bring a book and stuff?
No, not a book, because that's going to get wet.
Okay.
But we just sit around.
We'll
bring some music.
Okay, so
you
bring music.
Yeah, like a waterproof speaker.
Okay.
And make sure our phones are protected so we don't get them wet. And we'll play some tunes and we dive in when we get hot and then we sit. Maybe we'll bring a snack. It's nice.
Okay.
It's really just kind of a cool, fun thing that we started doing during the pandemic.
So you need a new spot.
Need a new spot.
I got you.
Yep.
What do you think, Dan?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you have to start with lakes around the town.
Yes.
Right? I mean, just the ability and the access that
you guys stole my thunder.
That's 1,000% the thing. As soon as you start thinking spring, it's get outside. You know, you could go to the Greenway, too, and all the bike trails and stuff and all the ways to get around. And, you know, for me, I think of getting on the Greenway and going down to Lake Calhoun about Bidet-Makoska and biking around the lake there.
Yep.
Or just any of the city lakes. I mean, there's trails that go all over the place. You can go out on the lakes if you want. You can sit on the sides of the lakes if you want. There's just 1,000 different ways to experience that kind of outdoors in a place where, you know, you only get so many good months out of the year. And so, you know, you're desperate to soak up that time outside and that sun that you do have access to.
You know, right. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm reminded of just this past weekend about another thing I would like to do more of when the weather is nicer.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a nice day on Saturday, it was still cold and there was a biting wind. But we had a free hotel night to use up from a credit card, just like a promotional thing.
Yep.
So we stayed in downtown Minneapolis at this awesome boutique hotel right downtown. And then we walked everywhere. We walked to the North Loop for brunch. Then we walked back to our hotel. just kind of rested a little bit. I grabbed a coffee in the Spy House coffee. Then we walked to a bar restaurant on the Nicollet Mall and then down to Ice House that is in like the 2500 block or so of Nicollet Avenue. So we just walked. I didn't ever think that I could walk so much right within the downtown area and a little farther south. I would have always thought, oh, we're going to need to drive or take an Uber or whatever. But we walked the entire weekend and it was fabulous. Yeah. I want to do more walking, just see what else we can, you know, cram into a fun day like that.
We're all on the same page with the lakes, like the setup there.
Yep.
Just because I learned early on how much I love the fact that we have so many lakes here in Minnesota when I went away for college.
Yeah.
Because in Atlanta, I mean, there's no water. Like, there's no bodies of water.
And it's
hot. And then when I lived in Kansas City and working at the Odyssey station there, 610 Sports Radio, like, there's no water in Kansas City.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, when you're from here and you've lived here your entire life, when you go to other places and there's no bodies of water around, it is weird.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's different. Like, I love going around Nokomis and just taking it all in and going on a walk that's a big deal for me in the summertime.
Harriet walkers. We'll do that spring and summer. We started doing that during the pandemic too, when you couldn't go anywhere or do anything. We started walking in the winter around Harriet and love it. The dog swims. It's nice.
All right. Speaking of walking, I got to ask you this one. It just popped in my head just because you said this. Have you ever been a mall walker?
Not as part of like a mall walking group, but yes, we have gone to the Mall of America just to get a good walk in and walk fast, like maybe around once or twice, and then we'll blow it all and go eat lunch like at, where do we go? Shake Shack.
Okay.
So everything that we just did to burn some calories and do something healthy, we kind of blow it.
Ask that because one of my favorite stores that I shop at is Trailmark in the Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
And there are Walmarkers at the Galleria. And I don't really feel like the Galleria is big enough to mall walk.
It's long. I mean, you have to go back and forth, I suppose. Yeah.
But MOA is like the place to go to if you get a mall walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you hope that it's not one of those god-awful, super busy days where you can't even move. You know, and sometimes it's like that. But other times when it's not so busy or if you pick the right time of day, it's kind of fun.
All right, so last thing I'll ask you is what is, in your estimation, and we'll just, for the sake of the conversation today, most underrated area that you'd like to go and just kind of chill out and veg out at in Minneapolis?
In Minneapolis?
Mm-hmm.
I got to say Harriet. That's kind of our place that we're really drawn to. And it's more of a moving hangout, like just a casual walk, or maybe we'll pull over and sit on a bench and just watch the sunset or watch the ducks or watch the people and, you know, just hang out with our dog and watch her swim. That's just a nice little period of downtime, I think, after a busy week. Like, we'll start doing this on Fridays right around this time, 5:30, 6 o'clock. As soon as I get off work, we'll just go right over to Harriet and do a nice walk and hang out and then find some dinner, and it's a great Friday evening.
All right, what about you, Dan?
Well, I'm trying to think because I do most of my hanging out at home if I'm just going to chill out.
I get that.
I don't head out a ton. There's a couple of, you know, right where I live, there's a couple of Little League ball fields, and during the, you know, I'm such a baseball geek. It is fun to go out and watch little kids play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to be careful about that as a single guy hanging around a Little League field. Some people start... So I'm looking at you sideways.
No, you don't.
He's right, dude.
You have to look at it that way.
Yeah,
you have to look at it that way. There's also a small park reserve not too far from where I'm at, and it's really cool because it's just off the streets enough where you really can kind of lose yourself and feel like you're in nature a little bit.
I love that.
And that, you know, here just a few hundred feet away, you can get back to the main drag and get right back to wherever, you know, you're going in life. So, but just having that little kind of getaway from the hustle and bustle where it feels like you're outside and in nature is really cool.
I'll give you my spot. Super underrated. People do go there, but it's not like it's always packed. But I love when you go over here to St. Anthony, Maine, and you have the cobblestone road right there with Astor Cafe and Hefe and all that. Like, I love that little stretch
Isn't it cool?
It is so cool to just kind of hang out there because you're right by the water.
Yep.
And you're right by some really nice restaurants and little, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Right on Old Main. You'll need to go to the St. Anthony Park Art Festival or St. Anthony Art Festival. That's, it's usually Father's Day weekend in June.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they have, it's amazing. It's just, you know, like a couple of hundred little art booths all along that area, along the cobblestone street and into the park area and over the little bridge. And it's fabulous.
Yeah. No, that's super cool.
Yes.
All right. I appreciate it, Laura. Thanks so much, Dan. All right. Coming up next, something was revealed and announced last night via Twitter themselves from their Twitter verified account. They've made a decision about something that I'm just not going to be a part of. I'll give you the explanation. I'll tell you what that is. Coming up next, Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia. All right, welcome back to Drive Time with DeRussia. I'm not Jason DeRussia. I'm Henry Lake. Steve Thompson in for me tonight with Christopher Tubbs. Wolves will not be back in action till Sunday. Big-time game, though. They play the Golden State Warriors. So there was something that was revealed last night on Twitter, and I knew that eventually it was going to get here because we know that Twitter is owned by Elon Musk. And I eventually we knew it was going to happen. So what happened last night was Twitter announced, well, I'll read to you the tweet. It says, on April 1st, we will begin winding down our legacy verified program and removing legacy verified checkmarks. To keep your blue check mark on Twitter, individuals can sign up for Twitter Blue here. So what they're saying is individuals like myself, Jason DeRussia, those people that are in media, that are, I'm assuming, entertainers, whatever, whoever.
Celebrities all over the place have blue check marks.
Whoever accomplished getting a blue check mark, they're taking your blue check mark away unless you pay the fee to be a part of Twitter Blue. I will not be giving Twitter and Elon Musk a dime. I will not be doing that. I don't care enough about a damn blue check mark. I don't. And I didn't ask for a blue check mark to begin with. Okay. I know that there are people that request it. They want one. They create, because it's looked at as a status symbol. And I get that, right? Like, it's, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's not kind of cool, right? It used to be cool, okay? I think it was kind of cool because it was a way that people looked and said, okay, you're reputable, yeah, right? Like, that was the only thing about it. It had nothing to do with, you know, it's, I can't parlay a blue check mark into getting married or you know getting a date. Nothing along those lines. But it could get you maybe people to look at you as like, okay, it says that he's a talk show host. It says that he's I think he probably is. That was like 5-6 years ago. But now in the day and age of Twitter, and I've always felt this way because I'm not an elitist. I just don't care. If Elon wants to try to monetize it the best way possible that he feels is possible, is by charging people the $8 or whatever it is for Twitter, more power to you, bro. But this was given to me years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for it now. I'm sorry.
And I think there's a lot of people that are going to be in that vein, but I think there's a lot more that are going to go ahead and pay for it because they either see it as a status symbol or, you know, somebody in my end of the industry, right, I'll look for accounts if I'm, you know, trying to find somebody. And if there's parody accounts or if there's other accounts with similar names,
yep,
if I find the one with the blue check mark, okay, I know that's the person I'm actually looking for. You know, if you're somebody that needs to be able to have people find you in that,
yes,
kind of vein,
it's easier.
Then maybe $8 is worth it to you to do that.
Yeah, I can't do it off of principle, though.
Right, I totally get that, too. And I think there's plenty
of
people
do it
in that vein. I also think, I don't blame Elon a bit for doing this because, you know, again, this is it's really, really hard with social media to monetize.
But wouldn't it make sense to do it moving forward? Why would you do it where you're taking it away from the people?
Because you can get a lot more money that way. Because going forward is always going to be there. Now you have this whole group of people that have already been given this thing for free that you know would actually pay to maintain it, and now you're going to monetize that as well.
But I don't think that it's a benefit to Elon if, let's say, forget about me, let's just say that Willie Nelson says, nah, I ain't giving you your damn $8.
Right.
Like, it doesn't help Elon Musk to have Willie Nelson on Twitter and him not have a blue check mark. I don't think that makes any sense.
Well, I would argue.
And I know that somebody like that wouldn't care.
Sure, I get that. I also think that when you sum up, if you take the groups, right, there's going to be one group of people that are like, you know, screw you, Elon, I'm not doing this. There's another group of people that are going to be like, you know, I want to have this blue check mark.
For sure.
I'm guessing that latter group might actually be larger. Or at least Elon's calculus.
But they can already do it. They've already been paying $8 for the Twitter blue.
Yeah, but some of them have, but some of them have been, some of those, I'm saying there's a group of people who are legacy check marks.
Yes.
Who haven't paid a dime for this thing.
Yep.
That will go
ahead. Oh, you're talking about the legacy people. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
We'll go ahead and still pay for it.
Yep.
And I think that group is large enough that the money that you're going to make from that, if you're Elon, is worth losing the blue check marks with the other folks that maybe would bring some sort of status or something. I don't know. I don't think he loses anything with Willie Nelson doesn't have a blue check mark.
Really No. He
and
doesn't.
And if he gets three more people that maybe aren't as famous as Willie Nelson to pay for blue check marks that weren't paying for it before, then that's only a positive for him and the company. I hate to argue this. Why are you making me argue this side of it?
I don't
want any part of this.
I see that side of it. I totally do.
Yeah.
But all of the decisions that he's made have just been not good ones.
Generally.
The multi-factor stuff that he withdrew and we had to change that. And yes, because I have an iPhone, I'm exempt because you got to turn all this. It just.
And you said you're not a snob.
No.
Because I have an iPhone.
No. You know, that was one of the things that they said. If you have an iPhone, it's easy to do it as opposed to some of the other Droid and whatever. The Google
I got a
phone
Google phone, yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. But do you have the two multi?
The multi? No, I don't. I mean, I don't even think. I haven't signed on to Twitter.
You're like,
forever.
You don't care if you get hacked.
I just get in there. Nobody's going to hack my account. What are you going to hack my account?
You elitist, you snob. My gosh. My goodness. But yeah, Elon, if you're listening, I'm not giving you anything.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Take the blue check. It doesn't mean enough to me. I don't care. Like.
Yeah.
It was never something I asked for. It just so happened to be that when the Royals got good and we were all at 6'10 and they won a World Series, like, they're like, okay, these guys are legit. Oh, and who are their hosts? Yeah, and we all end up getting, blue check marks then. If you take it away, you take it away, man. Just go ahead and have it.
I'm with you.
But I'm not cutting you any check. All right, coming up next, let's talk a little football. A little football with Matthew Collar from Purple Insider. He joins us next here on The Good Neighbor.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I had that little bit of a pause because I'm trying to shove some popcorn down my throat. Now it's time to go from popcorn to Matthew Collar talk some football.
You got to be careful, man, because I haven't brushed up on my Heimlich skills lately. So,
really?
If you start choking over there, we might be in trouble.
I hope not.
Well, I hope not either. For your sake, I'm just saying. Be careful.
I used the Heimlich on a classmate back when I was in the eighth grade and saved their life. They were choking on a chicken nugget. I swear to you. I was at Breck. I was at the Breck School, and
well, I hope you wouldn't make that up. Yeah, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. And Daniel was choking on a chicken nugget, and I jumped up and grabbed him, did the Heimlich, and it just boom, popped out.
How about that?
You ever had to do a Heimlich on anybody, Matthew?
No, that sounds kind of scary, actually.
How's it scary?
Well, somebody's choking to death right in front of you.
I thought he was saying that the actual, like, you trying to do the Heimlich was scary. Okay, I get what you're saying.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, that's a scary situation. Like, somebody's in danger and you had to step in. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Oh, man. Man. Seriously. So, you know, if we're ever at a Vikings game and we're up in the press box and you have some issues, just make eye contact with your boy. Just give me that look. I come over there and save you.
I don't think reporters are ever eating anything during games. No. Not us.
Oh, I love it, man. Hey, all right, so thanks for coming on the show. I wanted to throw this at you because I saw this the last couple of days, and I do a quick Google search of Hendon Hooker right now, a former quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers. And let me read you what it says here. One says, there's more Hendon Hooker to Vikings buzz. What are Hendon Hooker's five best NFL team fits? Daniel Jeremiah, 2023 NFL mock draft, Hendon Hooker to Vikings. So it's like, all this Hendon Hooker to the Vikings type stuff, whatever. Actually, there's even a Purple Insider post. Hendon Hooker to the Vikings. The mock drafts, the mocks are out of control. Tell me your thoughts about all of this Hendon Hooker love.
Yeah, I would say that it's funny about, you know, buzz during draft season, because if you go back to last year, you know, and look at how the mock drafts turned out with the quarterbacks and Malik Willis being mocked as high as number two and then not going to the third round, we always need to keep in mind that we are overconfident in what we think we know about how the draft is going to play out. So just say that. Daniel Jeremiah is really good at his job at NFL Network. He kind of kicked off the Hendon Hooker to the Vikings buzz, if you will, by mocking him to the Vikings. I'm not convinced that he's going to be a first-round pick, and I don't think that Daniel Jeremiah knows any more than the next mock drafter. I think that what a lot of people are doing is putting two and two together that the Vikings look like a team that should be drafting a quarterback to sit behind Kirk Cousins for a year and then putting that quarterback in 2024. And the way that this draft is expected to play out with the raw skills of some of the top quarterbacks like Will Levis, like Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and CJ Stroud, that those quarterbacks are expected to go higher in the draft where the Vikings will have a really tough time getting them. Now, that is all extreme speculation here, and I'm just not really sold on the idea of Hendon Hooker being a top draft pick. He had great statistics, there's no question about it, but he's also a year and a half older than Justin Jefferson. Think about that for a second. A year and a half older than a player who's already been to three Pro Bowls. So, I mean, that to me is hard to spend a first-round pick on when teams have tried it in the past. It hasn't worked out all that well. You need players to develop and grow a lot once they get to the NFL. And if someone is already in their mid-20s, like how much growing on the fly can you really do, I think is a pretty significant question. The other thing, Henry, is if you went back to eighth grade when you were a senior in high school, I bet you would have dominated those junior high kids. That's what it's like being 25 in college football and playing against a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yeah, and I just, you know, even if he was healthy, forget about the ACL. I just, you're right, like with the age and just looking at him and what he did for Tennessee, he was awesome, you know, last season. But I'm not sure I got so many different question marks about a Hendon Hooker. All right, so let's also look at the situation in terms of free agency or the guys that have been on the roster. Since we last talked, which has been a few weeks, we ended up re-signing Alexander Mattison. What did you make of that move? And I actually think that they did a pretty good job from a numbers perspective in terms of how much money they gave him of getting a really solid running back.
Yeah, I mean, the Alexander Mattison situation is really tied very much into what's going to happen with Dalvin Cook. And it seems that we're just with him and Za'Darius Smith, we're just in this holding pattern. Like, if you're Alexander Mattison, why would you sign back with the Vikings as quickly as he did unless you had a pretty good inkling that you were going to compete for the starting job, if not have the starting job next year? Alexander Mattison has spent 4 years of his youth. By the way, he's about the same age as Hendon Hooker, if you were wondering. But he spent all this time in his youth sitting behind Dalvin Cook, waiting for his opportunity to play, and then just forgoes any other team to come back here. That, to me, has to point to the idea that he could be the starting running back next year. But also, if the Vikings are trying to shop and trade Dalvin Cook, I mean, there's Ezekiel Elliott, who's a free agent now. There's been Derrick Henry, rumors about him potentially being traded. And is there a lot of teams that are lining up to trade anything significant for Dalvin Cook? But at the same time, with both Cook and Za'Darius Smith, the Vikings benefit more on the salary cap if they trade those guys than if they just release them. So it feels like we're just kind of in a holding pattern. And all that does connect to Alexander Mattison, who I think is a very solid running back. I think he would be really good as part of a committee with, you know, Ty Chandler, who they drafted last year, another sort of hint that they thought they could move on from Dalvin Cook. And, I think the running game honestly can benefit from some fresh legs. It just felt like last year, and the numbers back this up, that Dalvin Cook was not the same as he had been in the past. So I think we're all just kind of sitting waiting to see what happens next, because they can't really do anything else until they clear more cap space.
Talking to Matthew Calla from Purple Insider here on News Talk 830 WCCO, Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia. Give me your thoughts on the signing of Marcus Davenport. I'm actually a fan of this signing. And I looked at Marcus Davenport when he was selected in the 2018 NFL draft. I thought he was rather raw. And now that he's gotten a little bit of seasoning, maybe the timing is right for this guy to be a breakout candidate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a team that can't spend a whole heck of a lot of money and you know that you're transitioning your roster from some of the older guys to looking for future pieces, Marcus Davenport is the exact type of player you're looking for. Somebody who has a high ceiling, has had as many as 9 sacks in a season so far in his career, and is a monster when it comes to athletically. He's also put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, but just hasn't finished that with sacks early in his career. So you talk about the potential there for developing into his mid and late 20s, that, you know, there is a possibility there he could become a big piece of the Vikings' future if it works out. However, there's a reason why he signed for not that much, and that's because there are risks that go along with a signing like this. Now, I think that if it doesn't work out, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. They didn't, you know, commit themselves to a ton of money if it doesn't work out. But there are risks. I mean, there was a report of a potential shoulder issue that held up the signing. He's had all sorts of injuries in the past that have kept him from becoming the pass rusher that he's expected to be. So that's a concern. And you just wonder, like, is there something there that prevents him from maximizing that potential that's not just the injuries but also part of his game, whatever it might be? And I guess we're going to find that out when he becomes a Viking. But I liked it. I mean, I'd give that an A+. Like, this is the exact type of guy that you're looking for, that if it works out, you get a total steal in free agency while everybody else is kind of overpaying for a lot of other guys.
What do you think that the Minnesota Vikings need to do next, Matthew?
I think they need to kind of figure out what direction they're going here. I mean, because especially with Za'Darius Smith and Dalvin Cook, because I thought that I had a good sense for it. It looked like they were going to tear a lot of pieces down. They were going to give a lot of players opportunities that were younger players, say like a Patrick Jones, or signing a Marcus Davenport, and see what you've got for next year, and probably make it the final year of Kirk Cousins, and then make your plans to kind of have it be a transition year of this roster after their last chance with a lot of these players last season. And then has happened so many times, it's just been a lot of kind of half measures. It's like Kendricks and Thielen are gone, but Harrison Smith is going to stay, and Smith and Cook still aren't gone. Is either one of them going to end up sticking around? And then they sign someone like Dean Lowry, who's a fine football player, but doesn't really fit in as a guy who's almost 30 years old to be someone for the future. So it's been a little bit odd for me, and it almost seemed like they started going full speed toward rebuilding things and then pushed the foot on the brakes, and then we've got this quarterback thing that's still hovering over everything. Like, what's the answer going to be? Is it going to be in this draft, next draft? Then Jeremy Fowler of ESPN drops Lamar Jackson's name. We're like, what is going on here? So I think that it's very much an incomplete grade so far for the Vikings in their offseason.
All right, final thing for you, and then we'll let you go. And this is about a former Viking. Adam Thielen, 3 years, $25 million contract, including an $8.3 million signing bonus. I guess he's guaranteed $14 million. Are you surprised he was able to get that type of money?
A little bit, but I also think Carolina knows that they're drafting the number one quarterback, whoever that might be, and they need somebody. They needed to overpay,
yeah,
and they're in a position to overpay, but they really need it, and they got DJ Chark today.
Yep.
They need veteran wide receivers, because if you looked at their receiving core past when they traded DJ Moore to Chicago, were you playing wide receiver for them, Henry? Because they had nobody. So they had to give Adam Thielen as much as they could. I think it's good for him and good for them. I mean, I saw that he was getting roasted on Twitter for saying they're a Super Bowl contender, but you can laugh at them right now. But in 2024, when he's still under contract, if Bryce Young or CJ Stroud turns out to be great, you won't be laughing anymore, because he might actually be right.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, have an awesome weekend, my man. Thank you so much.
Sure thing, Henry. Thanks for having me.
All right, Matthew Kyler, Purple Insider, joining us here on The Good Neighbor. We'll break. We'll come back. Final segment of Drive Time with DeRusha. All right, the final, 3 minutes of this show. Steve Thompson coming up next. He's filling in for me tonight, and I appreciate it. And I think that Stevie T is going to be filling in for me Monday and Tuesday, I would assume. I know the Wolves do play on Monday night, so we'll see how all of that shakes out. But I appreciate Stevie D filling in for me tonight here on the Lake Show. I want to run this past or ask this question of Dan Cook before we get out of here in the next couple of minutes, because I'm going to be gone all next week, although I'll be broadcasting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but I will be in Kansas City.
Right.
The Twins start on the road in Kansas City against the Royals, and we know that the opening day matchup is going to be Zach Greinke for the Royals and Pablo Lopez for the Twins. I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on, like, are you high on the Twins this year? Because I think the Twins are going to be better than what most people expect.
I wouldn't say I'm high on them. I'm very intrigued to see what happens, right? I mean, there's a lot of potential there. But I think we were saying something very similar before last year's season, too, that there's potential, but we got to see how it all comes together. There's no question the depth of the starting pitching is better.
It's better.
Than what they had. But the quality of the starting pitching, I mean, Lopez is sort of an unknown. There's a ton of potential there. You see in the scouting reports, we haven't seen him do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if his ceiling is as maybe a 2 or a 3, okay.
If the word on the street about Lopez, if they're right about that, then you got one.
You got a good one. You got a guy that's probably a solid 2.
Yeah.
Right? What you still don't have on this team is a stopper. You still don't have...
No, you don't have an ace.
A guy that's going to go out there and, okay, well, we know we're good at least once every 5 or 6 days. Having said that, offense, you know, there's some there. There's some question marks, too. I mean, you don't, is Joey Gallo going to be able to bounce back? Because with Kirilloff now and Polanco's, too, going to start the season on the injured mm-hmm. list. You know, guys like Joey Gallo, guys like, was it Donovan? I forget his last name. With some of these pickups that they had late in camp.
Oh, like Taylor and those guys.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are going to be hugely important, you know, and offensively as well as defensively. So
I just look
there's just a lot of unknowns.
I just look at the Central, though. And
it's
how
right,
many,
it's there.
How many teams have aces, though?
Well, I mean, the Guardians are pretty good.
The Guardians, yeah. For sure, we know that. But I'm saying outside of the Guardians,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. Look, no, the division's there for the taking. There's no question about it. The Twins can absolutely win the division this year.
And imagine being
And they
Houston,
can finish fourth, too.
And so. Imagine, no, they can't finish fourth.
It's in the realm of possibility.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
I'm not saying,
I hope they don't. I'm not saying they will.
Detroit's going to be bad. Kansas City's going to be not good.
So we said that all last year, too, and they finished fourth. So
we'll see. Don't try to bring me down.
No, look, I'm
going to be texting you from Kansas City.
I'm excited baseball is coming back. I'm excited to see what this team can possibly be. I'm just not sure.
I just don't know. There's a lot of questions. First victory with a slab of Joe's KC ribs. All right, we're out of here. Stevie T, Steve Thompson's next year on The Good Neighbor.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.